Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line tonight with me my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, are you on the line with us tonight?
Sir, I'm here.
Praise God. We thank God for allowing us to get back together on another Thursday. It's like these Thursdays bring snow our way. We get a little more snow this tomorrow into Saturday. But I know the last few Thursdays we've been getting snow. But we thank God for the snow. And we know that God knows what's best for us. And we have to be prepared, amen, preparations. When we talk about studying the Bible, Sheila G, we always say that, you know, preparation for life is that we know the B-I-B-L-E. And when you know the B-I-B-L-E, you can prepare for the storms of life. Because whether we like it or not, the storms are coming. There was an old Negro hymn that used to say, "There's a storm out on the ocean, and it's moving this way. And if your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away." And you got to have that anchor, that word, just like when it snow comes. I know folk in this area, you talk about a sprinkler snow, they go in and bombard the grocery stores, they take all the toilet paper. How much toilet paper do you need? Take all the toilet paper, all the water, all the eggs. Yeah. I'm just talking about a sprinkling of snow.
Yeah.
And it's just a habit, but, you know, folks won't be prepared, and that's where we need to be prepared for life with the word of God, that when we know there's a storm coming, we should get all of the books of the Bible and the word of God and everything so that we can be prepared for the storms of life. Sheila G.
Amen. They say we better be ready because, like you said, you wait to the last minute to try to go to the grocery store and get the toilet paper, it'll all be gone. So you better have it in your house so you can be ready when the storms come. So see,
amen.
Always remember, we always have the ready stuff in our house in the basement. It's like all that extra stuff, in case something came, you know, if something happened all of a sudden, you had everything, the main staples that you needed already in the house. And that's how we have to be with the word. We got to have some of that word in us at all times, because that the devil is a sneaky rascal, and he'll climb up on you in a minute. And if you don't have at least a piece of word or at least know how to say a little prayer or something in you, that's not the time to try to figure it out.
Amen, amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for another privilege and another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, yeah, the preparation of getting the word or studying the word or staying prayed up in comparison to getting ready for the storms or the snowstorm that's coming and having the staples, like you said, Shilajit, already on board, that you're prepared during the sunny days for the rainy days. And a lot of times when the stormy days of life come, people are not prepared, because during the sunny days of life, they didn't prepare. The times where they can go to Bible study, go to church, right, go to Sunday school, go to prayer service, they weren't prepared. And so when the storms of life come, like you said, with the storms, the snowstorms, you don't have the staples, and then you try to go to the store and find that it's bare, and so now what do you do? you're in a bit of a bind, and so that's why it's important to study this word and see what God does during life storms. And we picked up in chapter 19 in the book of Acts, and we saw that there was a riot. There was a storm of chaos. There was a storm of people that didn't want to follow the word of God, that were persuaded by idol gods, the daughters of Zeus, Demetrius, and Artemis and Diana, the Roman god, and the god that were used to create great theaters and great wealth and a big distraction for people in the world, and it became a business. The big lie became a big business. And so when Paul and his disciples presented the way, or the this Jesus, the truth and the life, the way, the truth and the life, that they began to start seeing that their gain from the big lie, or the big business of the big lie, sort of like some of these big networks and big newspapers and big outlets that peddle lies, when they began to start seeing their self-gain or their illegal gotten gain from peddling these false gods start to come to an end, they created a big old stink. And the Holy Spirit ministered to Paul and told Paul that we had to let this thing play out. And so Paul didn't get involved. And so last week we talked about what one of Reverend Lindsay's saying is, you got to pray before you say. And so prayed and stayed out of the way. And they began to see how the uproar and the riot that they were creating began to make them look foolish. And made them begin to look like they were in the wrong. And so they try to quiet it down, and then they try to cover it up. Reminds me of the insurrection and the riot that we had on last year in the month of January, where they realize, oh, we're looking crazy now, we need to stop. And then, you know, they try to cover it up, to act like it didn't even happen. And so when you begin to have this word of God inside of you, and this word of God that's in the Bible, you can begin to start seeing the parallels, even if it's not exactly like it. You can begin to start seeing the parallels of how God and the church has dealt with man down through the years. And it's astonishing that there's truly nothing new under the sun, that you can see the parallels of what man did back then and what mankind is doing now. But before we go back to Acts 19, I want us to go to Exodus, the 20th chapter. And last week I was talking about the Jews were supposed to be a repository for the word of God. A repository means it's a place where the word of God can be safely kept. In other words, God chose the Jewish people so they could be the repository, so they could be the safe place for the word of God, for each generation to know that God came to them, God gave them instructions, and for them to be the repository to be able to share the word or the commands with God for those that were in the Jewish community and those communities that were around them. They were supposed to be a repository for God's word. And they were supposed to act and carry out the word of God to those that were around them so that they can see because people, these chosen people, the Jews knew God, that they would behave godly and they would have an influence on their community and those that are around them because they were following the word of God. Sort of like what believers in Christ Jesus are supposed to behave like Christ Jesus in this 21st century. And so that we would have a godly influence on those that are around us. But we have to know the word. And so if you go back to Exodus, the 20th chapter, beginning at verse 1, when God is getting ready to give to his people these Ten Commandments, and these commandments are what the Jews in Acts are supposed to know. And so they're going around with this big lie about Diana, about Artemis, about Zeus. They build this big theater. They create this great big media, social media monster, if you will, back then, about, you know, making money off of this, pimping the gospel, pimping people's fears about idols and gods and things they don't understand. And so the Jews, God's chosen people, are supposed to know better. But because they had gotten so far away from the word of God, they were caught up in this web of sorcery, web of false gods, web of false teachers. And it became a big business. And so now the big business was bigger than the boring word of God. And so we want to go back to the beginning because we said we can't move forward until we know what the root of the word of God says to be able to deal with what we need to deal with. And so when you go back to the root of the word, Dr. G, when you go back to the root and understand how to deal with it, people don't want to hear it. You have to go back and you have to say, okay, you guys are caught up in all of this. Everyone's caught up in this social media of Diana and Artemis and the daughters of Zeus and the goddess and this theater and this whole big, you know, first century a social network of lies. The Jews should have pumped the brakes long time ago and said, well, let's go back to, you know, the God that we say we serve said about this whole thing about Diana and Artemis. So if we go back to chapter 20 and we go to verse 1, and it says, and I'm reading from the King James, chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And it says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have, and here it is, this is the first commandment that God gave to them when he brought them out of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any what? Graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fatherless upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. God said, when you do this, you don't love me, you hate me. In verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So here, God is giving them clear instruction. And in Acts 19, They had totally forgot about God. They were acting under false pretense that they love God. But God says when you're doing these things they're doing, creating these images of Diana and Artemis, these goddesses, that you're actually not showing love, but you're showing hate and contempt toward God. But this was the same thing that, that Aaron did when Moses was up on the mountain a little bit too long. He got tired of waiting on God, so he said, we're going to create our own God. And so there's nothing new under the sun. People who don't have a love for God will turn to the same old things, the same old line, the same old story of creating false God made by their own hands because they don't want to wait on God, but they want to do things their own way. And it's the same sin that happened to Adam and Eve. They didn't want to listen to God, but they wanted to do their own thing. And when people don't want to listen to God and people don't want to, and people want to do their own thing, what happens is they end up in chaotic situations that they find they can't get out of. Adam and Eve, like they hiding from God. You know, when Aaron and the people were waiting for Moses to come down out of the mountain, Moses said, "What's going on?" And God said, "Them your people down there, they rioting and doing all kind of immoral things." And so in Acts 19, and when the way of the word came and exposed them, then they began to riot and create chaos in the street, all because they didn't listen, obey the word of God, and wanted to do their own thing. And so this common denominator of mankind is what Satan pimps, confusion in the godly community, which is supposed to be the repository, that's supposed to be an example for the people around us. And so when we act off the chain because we're fighting with each other, then what happens is the cause of God, the cause of Christ is lost or is negated or brought low because the people are saying, "I don't want none of that," because they're saying this is how God makes them react. And if that's the way God makes them react, I don't want any part of it. And so we see this common thread, this common theme throughout the Bible, is that it's important for us to be able to know the word of God and not only know it, but be able to live it. And if we don't, we know what the outcome is going to be. It's going to be an ungodly people behaving ungodly in an ungodly world. Sheila G. I think I lost her. Where she go? There she go. Sheila G.
Can you hear me now? Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
About compromise. Actually, Dr. G and I were sitting here nodding our heads. We dropped off, but it came right back because we've talked about how even now, especially now, people compromise. And that's what happened is they compromise God's word. So it's like, okay, I know the basis. I know God wants me to do this, that, and the other, but this is how I feel. And so that compromise is based off how I feel. In this particular case, how they can make money, like you said, by pimping the gospel. So it's not like they didn't know it. But the problem is when we compromise God's word, which is what we saw in the insurrection, which is what we saw when they brought in the former president that said that he had never committed a sin, but the evangelical community came out and said, "Well, we all sinned, so we can overlook his." That's compromising God's word. So you compromise, you take it out of context and say, "Well, that's okay. You think you're going to have it under control, but then because you compromise God's word," what you know, Dr. Z and I were talking about, then that's when the confusion comes in. That's when Satan can step in because you're straddling the fence. And you can't straddle a fence. Either you're going to be committed or not committed. Not only when it's in your favor, like in this case in Acts, it's like, okay, we're going to compromise God's word. We're going to have a god, but it's a little g. And they even acknowledge that these gods, Greek gods, were made by their own hands. So how, that's an oxymoron. How can it be a true god, but for them to be able to make money on it, which they say the love of money is the root of all evil, but it goes back to compromising God's word.
Amen, amen. Dr. G, help me out here.
Well, not only compromising God's word, as you and Sheila both said, you know, if it's something that mankind doesn't want to do, We'll find every excuse not to do it. We'll find every reason not to do it. Right now, for the last, 2 years, the pandemic, COVID. So we had to go to Zoom. So now we find all kinds of excuses as to why we don't have to serve the Lord too much. Some folk, I mean, it's so easy, you know, we just make excuses. And what we don't want to do, we're just not going to do it.
Amen, amen. And when I look back at that chapter, 20th chapter of Exodus, the first commandment, where he says, don't make any graven images and don't bow down to them. And then you go fast forward to this book of Acts. It's really something. You see, God clearly state, okay, don't do this. And you see, man, just take off in his own direction. He's gonna do it. He's gonna do it his way. He's gonna do it his way. And when he does it his way, he suffers the consequences of doing it his way. And I think the sooner people realize that, the better off they're gonna be. But you got to at some point say, wait a minute. This is where God says we should be, and we keep running into these same problems, and we need to get to a place where we're saying this is insanity. So if you look at Acts 19, verse 26, and it says, and you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus, and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says the gods made by human hands are not gods at all. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to verse 27. He says there's danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia, and the world will be robbed of her divine majesty. So what they're saying is that we're gonna lose our money, and then they try to wax you know, religious, that you know, divine majesty of Asia, the province of Asia, she's gonna lose her credibility too, and they start going on these romantic themes of, you know, and it's almost like when these folks that turn against the government call themselves patriots. Oh, we're turning, we're going to be patriots, and we're going to lose our great country if we don't do it the corrupt way we want to do it. So in other words, it's like, as long as everybody's going around with the corrupt way we're going to do it, then everything's good. But when you expose the corrupt way that we do it, then, you know, oh, it's bringing down the country, it's bringing down the patriots, and everybody's in trouble. But nobody wants to go back to Exodus and see what the word, the truth says. Right. And so what they want to do is they want to cover it up, and they want to act like what they did wasn't crazy, and try to convince you that what they did wasn't crazy. Sheila G.
Amen. And it's true. And when you read it, you know, I'm reading in the NIV 27, there's danger not only that our trade will lose its good nature. Again, here we got good name, just like now, talking about the power, but we're talking about in politics and even in churches. A lot of times they want to be, the pastor or the preacher wants to be worshipped instead of God. It's like, oh, no. And it's, but also the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited. Well, if it's a god, how can God be discredited? You know, it's not even making sense. And goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia, and the world will be robbed of her divine majesty. That doesn't even make sense, because you're saying, because Paul, they're talking about the goodness of the Lord, they're drawing people to Christ, your god, little g, is going to lose his majesty. Well, then there can't be so much magic if they don't have the power to come up against the true and living God. But again, like you said, it's like, don't trust your lying eyes, just like the insurrection when they were coming. It's like, oh, no, the, you know, the government's going to fall apart, and America has to be literally right. And if we let people of color in such a thing, it's going to take your country away. So we're all for good. Now, you got guns. You coming up to the Capitol. You're ready to shoot people. You're ready to tear stuff up. And you're literally openly saying hang people, kill people, destroy people. And it's like you got the little shiny object. But, again, you don't have that power. But when they're saying in the scripture is, because the true, they're telling you about the true and living God, the all-powerful God, here's the little goddess that we made with our hands that we can see. So we're going to have to come up against them, because then we're not only going to lose our money, but the power, that sneaky trick, everybody, our trick is going to be exposed.
Amen. Exactly what's happening. And so they mad. Go to verse 28. When they heard this, they were what? Furious. And began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." In other words, they want to prop up the lie even more. They're not going to repent and go back to the Word of God. They're not going to repent and go back to the Book of Exodus. They're not going to repent and ask God for forgiveness. They're going to push this thing out even more and begin to start believing the lie that they told. And so in verse 29, it says, "Soon the whole city was in an uproar. The people seized Gaius and Articus, Paul's traveling companion, and Macedonia, and all of them rushed into the theater together. And Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples would not let him." So they said, "Paul, we got to let this thing play out." And you know, a lot of people, when the Capitol was stormed, and they were in their emotions, and I was telling people, man, if I was one of them police officers, I would have shot 4, 5, 6 people. But that's why you have to let things, I'm just keeping it real.
Yeah.
That's why you have to understand that God is exposing them, and you have to let it play out. And if you were to start shooting them, then they would have said, "See, this is what they do to this, how they treat us. We were just peaceful, and they incited this riot and made us out to be, you know, these martyrs because they started shooting." But God had it so that they had restraint. Received this great beating, that the police and those that were trying to defend the guy received this great beating and didn't respond back in overpowering methods. And so here Paul's ready to jump in, and his companion said, "No, hold up. We got to let this thing play out, because God is revealing how ignorant, how far-fetched, you know, how off-base and how ungodly they are. So we just need them to show their royal behind so that everybody can see, amen, them for who they are and the lies and the false worship that they are perpetrating." COG.
Amen. And that's why it was so important in the beginning of this chapter, when they were facing adversity and Paul was teaching the disciples to pray daily, to study the word daily. Let's do this daily. So that was input in the disciples. So when Paul, in his weakness, they were able to turn that thing around and say, "No, Paul, I know you're feeling in your feelings right now. I know you want to react right now, but just step back, let it play out." And that is why we have to have corporate prayer. That's why we have to have church. That's why we have to have prayer service. That's why we have to have fellowship, so that we can, when one is kind of dropping and emotionally weak, that other one can build them up. Because earlier in this chapter, Paul was teaching the disciples, you got to pray daily because things are going to come up on you daily. You got to be ready. So when he's seeing all this massive confusion and he wants to react and go into the theater and say, "No, y'all are wrong, react this, that, and the other," which would have caused even more confusion and exposure to him, the disciples were able to say, "No, back off, come on." And that's how we have our spiritual connection to one another, so that when you are weak, you can call your prayer partner and say, "I can't take it. I'm about to lose my mind. I'm
right
here.
Right.
Ready to get the victory. Build me up, pray for me, help me to refocus my mind." And that's what's happening here. And eventually God does expose that. That's why when he says he will make your enemy your footstool, that means that you pray, you don't get in it, and you let God do the work. even though sometimes that feeling, that emotion, you want to go in and, well, Lord, I can't wait on you. Let me do this for you. Let me get it out of my system versus stepping back, calling that prayer partner and saying, yeah, I need you because I'm getting ready to cuss this person out, but I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. And that's why we tell people, you know, go to church even when you don't feel like it. Dial in the prayer service even when you don't. Get the Bible study. If nothing else, it will give you that peace and settle you down. Your emotions may still be there, but your spirit mm-hmm. can overcome that emotion.
Amen, amen. And so they got to Paul, and Paul, if you look at verse 31, even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, sent him a message begging him not to venture into the theater and don't get involved in that mess. A lot of times you have to get to a point where you just have to let things play out. I tell people sometimes you just have to say, leave it alone. I know sometimes, Sheila G, when we talk, we say we're going to grab the popcorn.
Yeah.
And we're going to see how this movie plays out. Don't even get involved. You get involved, you're going to mess up God's plan. Sometimes God has to show people. Sometimes God has to handle things. And Dr. D, you say you're just going to go and pray on them and let that thing play out, because people have to experience God for themselves and the consequences of their actions. And we can't jump in all the time. And sometimes things that God doesn't want us to do. Sometimes God has to take care of these things. And so we have to get to a point where we're so in tune with the Holy Spirit that you say, nah, this not for me to get in right here. God is doing his thing. I'm going to stay over here and pray and eat my popcorn. Dr. G.
Well, you know, it's just like when we're raising our kids. You know, we tell them, don't do this. This is bad for you. But there are times when they're still going to do it, and we don't always be there to bail them out. Sometimes they've got to live through it and go through it to fully get the full understanding. And it's the same thing with the Lord. You know, what we're talking about, been through it many a day. And the flesh wanted to say some things back, but the Lord said, nope, I got this. Mm. And you have to let it play out. Now, it may hurt your feelings, but when God says no, you have to obey him, because the Lord knows best. That's why, you know, I tell folk, you know, now I've learned that rather than get upset with people and the way that they act, all I do, I go pray. Mm-hmm. I put it in the Lord's hands, tell him, Lord, you go do the convicting and the convincing. Now, I didn't preach. I didn't pray with them. I didn't give them the best advice I can. Sometimes they're going to take it. Sometimes they still going to do what they want. So at that point, I kick the dust off my foot. I wash my hands of it. Lord, they in your hands, and I let the Lord deal with them. And then I'll sit back and wait. Then when they call back, then I can pick up where I left off.
Amen. It's like, can you hear me now?
Amen. And that's a thing that when folks say you in the Lord's hand, or grandmama and them, or mom and daddy say you in the Lord's hand, you better watch out, buddy.
Yeah.
Watch out. So let's go back to the word in verse 32. It says the assembly was in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people did not even know why they were there. It's just a riot out of control. Verse 33, the Jews in the crowd pushed Alexander, one of these other Jews in power, to the front, and they shouted instructions to him. He motioned for silence in order to make a defense before the people, and then they don't even want to hear him. So now all these folks, they're out of control. Folks, they're supposed to be in control. They're supposed to be coming in silence in the crowd, and the folk in the crowd don't even want to hear him. This is so reminiscent and parallel to the riots that we have, you know, recently in our country. And it says in verse 34, it says, but when they realized he was a Jew, what do? They all shouted in unison for about 2 hours, "Great is Armistice of the Ephesians." So they were persistent that they were going to worship Artemis, the Greek goddess. it's sort of like when the wise men tried to instruct the early Jews that they didn't need a king, and they insisted that they would have a king, and God said, "Well, the king is gonna mess y'all up and gonna take y'all for bad and rule terrible over you." He said, "No, we won't be just like the rest of those folks that have a king that leads them into battle. We will have a king." I said, God said, "Okay."
Okay. To this day, it's a mess over here.
Here's your king. you don't want a theocracy. You want a euocracy, or the first Bible book of me, or whatever you say she was the first book of me. And so what happens is they're determined that they want to worship this great Artemis, this great goddess, daughter of Zeus. And so then after they realize after 2 hours how ignorant they are, for 2 hours they're going about this shit with me. 2 hours. 2 hours. Off the chain. Yeah. They're on the chain for 2 hours in the middle of this theater. Just lost their mind. Have you ever seen somebody just be off the rocker for 2 hours? Come on now.
Yeah.
And then the verse 35, here comes the clerk. The city clerk quieted, and this is verse 35 in NLV. The city clerk quieted the crowd and said, "Fellow Ephesians, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of great Artemis and her image which fell from heaven?" In other words, you know, why are we acting up like you were saying, you know, if our little G is so powerful, doesn't the whole world know that our little G is powerful? Then why are we acting up when these folk come in talking about something else? In other words, let's get back to our senses. And in verse 36 is, "Therefore, since these facts are undeniable, you ought to calm down and not do anything rash." In other words, we're looking like fools. And and the reason why we're looking like fools is because we're acting like the God that we say we serve is so powerful is truly not that powerful.
Right.
And so it says, let's calm down and do anything rash. In verse 37, the clerk goes on to say, "You have brought these men here, though they have neither robbed temples nor blasphemed our God." In other words, you're acting up. They haven't done anything against you, and now you're looking like a mob out of control because there was nothing that was done, and there were all these false accusations. It's sort of like all these false accusations about an election that was stolen, where there was no proof, there was no validity to why they were behaving that way, and so they were looking totally foolish. And here this clerk is saying, "You're looking totally foolish." And it continues in verse 38. It says, "If then Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a grievance against anybody, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls. They can press charges." In other words, the same thing that when they were saying the election was stolen, they went through all these courts. I think there were over like 60 cases. In every case, they would get in there and say, "Well, where's your proof?" "Well, you got no proof." So they could have gone to the courts. And they go to the courts and their case is debunked and so you believe a big lie because you want to believe it, even though every step of the way you were proven that it was a big lie. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's what this person is saying, is like, why, if your God is that powerful, and if you're so sure that these little G's and these goddesses that were made by man, then prove it. Why are you fighting? Why are you acting like fools? The men that are talking about the true and living God have done nothing to you. So why don't you can prove your case, which you know they're going to lose because this is not the true and living God. So that's why they're acting all about emotions instead of reality and the truth. And that is the thing that this country has lost, that's standing on the truth, standing on the honest, on the money. It says, "In God we trust." No,
you're meddling now.
You standing on how you feel, and you're mad because you didn't like the answer. Well, that's still not the truth. So what, here they're saying, prove it. If your God is so wonderful and it's the greatest thing, why are you getting upset about it? Obviously, it has its shortcomings. And that's the same thing here, because it can't stand by itself. It can't. So by their mere actions, it's showing that their God is truly a little g.
And if you continue in that verse 39, Acts 19, verse 39, says, if there is any further you want to bring up, it must be settled in a legal assembly. So all these people, they always preach law and order, law and order. You know, the Jews, they preaching law and order. But these folks, they ain't following the commandments of God.
Right.
So they just perpetrating a fraud, and they want to make the truth out to be what they want it to be. And
yep.
and if they wanted the law and the order, there were laws and there was order. And if you go back to Exodus 20, verse 1 through 6, it tells you what, or if you go through and read the whole command, it tells you what the law and the order is. And
right.
and to fast forward today, people talk about law and order, but it's only law and order for what they want or what they believe. And you can't have it both ways.
No,
you know, the truth is the truth. Jesus
yes.
said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, there's no other truth. And so they're saying, you know, it must be settled in a legal assembly, but it can't be settled in a legal assembly that you come up with. It's in the laws and the stuff that you come up with. It has to be settled in a legal assembly based upon the truth of the word of God. If you go down to verse 40, it says, as it is, we are in danger of being charged with rioting because what happened today. In that case, we should not be able to account for this commotion since there is no reason for it.
Amen.
it's like we're loud and wrong. We're out of control. We're looking like foolishness. We're the ones that should be locked up. We
right.
the ones that have charges brought against us because we're rioting and doing this thing for no reason. We're creating this commotion for no reason. I don't know what people don't get, that when God allows you, it's like he then pulled your undergarments down. Now you out there,
yeah.
you out there loud and wrong. You out there exposed. God didn't expose you. Somebody said, look here, man, you need to come back over here because you looking real stupid right now.
Right.
come on back over here. Pull your pants back up. You come on back over here. God didn't expose you. You
yeah.
you need to close your mouth and
yeah.
quit while you're ahead.
Yeah.
And so after, and I'm going to let you and Dr. Z chime in on this. After in verse 41, he said, after he had said this, what? He done missed the assembly. Now they all gone home. Oh, we done messed up now. They gonna try to lock us up, and we looking bad. So now we gonna leave, and we gonna act like nothing happened. She'll just help me out.
Like you said, there's nothing new under the sun. How many of those insurrectionists, after they got caught, after they got arrested, all of them are saying, well, I'm ashamed of, I don't know why I did it, and I did it because the president told me to do it, and I'm ashamed now. And so then what happens? They start turning on each other. So now I'm going to tell on this one and tell that one. So it's just that art of confusion. And it all started with money, which is the root of all evil, worshiping other gods with a little g. And you want to tick off the big G, the true and living God, try to put him on a second burner. Try to not give him the glory for the blessings that you received, and try to say it yourself, and you try to take control of the situation. If we want to really apply it to our own personal lives, this is what happens when we don't follow what God is, the instructions that God has given us, and we start whining and we start complaining, and then all of a sudden he will snatch those blessings away just that quick, because it's like you don't appreciate it. So now this is what you have here. These people are, like, worshiping this little G, and it's like, okay, if this goddess is so wonderful, why are you acting a fool? Then bring it to the council so you can say, okay, this God is better because blah, blah, blah. But then when you look at it, you're like, ooh, I was totally wrong. I need to step up. Let me leave it alone. That's how we do in our lives. When we mess up, we need to go to God and say, you know what, Lord, I got in your way. I made my children, I made my job, I made my house, I made other people more important than you. We have these little G's. We have these idols in our life. I let out based off my feelings and not following what you're giving me. Those are our Artemises. Those are our Dianas. Those are our little guys. And we need to turn our lives over to Christ. Otherwise, we look like fools. Then we act up. Satan's laughing with his legs crossed, and you've drifted so far from God. But thanks be to God, we can, too, leave the court, dust off our filthy rags, go to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to walk in you and stop being led by the little G's, which is my feelings and what I want to do.
Amen, amen. Well said, Dr. G.
Well, I was just sitting here, and I, you know, everything that you all have said has been correct. And my mind went back to January 6th. I thought about how the former president, you know, he kept pushing this mess, pushing it, and the big lie. And here we are now, a year later, and he's still pushing the big lie. And as Sheila was saying, you know, all these fools that went down there and, you know, they ransacked the Capitol, thinking that they were going to get away with it. You know, we're going to take back our government, okay? But yet now, you know, they're being brought forth, and as Sheila was saying, they're turning on one another. You know, the leaders are beginning to be apprehended now and charged, and they're even beginning to go after the one who spread the big lie in the beginning. And not just the lie, but they're looking at all of his dealings and everything that you look at and you hear from the news now. You know, all the stuff that he was doing behind the scenes, trying to use executive powers to get things changed. He was serious about trying to remain in office. And it's the same thing with us. You know, when our minds are made up, we do whatever we can to try to keep things going. And like we've said, you know, God will let you go. I tell folks, I've preached the sermon, God will wait, but not forever. And people have got to realize that, you know, we've left our first love. This country has just gone completely backwards. And it's all about money. It's all about keeping the billionaires rich. It's all about power. It's all about the big boys keep and the little people pay the price. And until we get back to where we belong, we're never going to have the peace of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You all have well said. And I just thank God for his word that we can look at his word and we can see through the power of God's spirit what is happening, and we don't have to be ignorant. We don't have to be in the dark. We can see through his word and this Bible the carry-ons of man, and truly you can see there's nothing new under the sun. You can look at this Bible and you can see the behavior of man back in the beginning of time, and you can see that same behavior carrying on through to today. And so it gives you a view, an understanding that will help keep you rooting and grounded even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of the trials and tribulations, ups and downs of this world. And it's so important to be able to study to show ourselves approved under God, that we can be workmen truly that need not be ashamed of rightly dividing word of truth, and we won't be so easily led astray when we see these things happening in the world. But we can refer back to the word. We can be prepared, like we were talking about, with the snowstorms and the storms of life, and understand that when they come, we can turn to the Word, we can turn to the Holy Spirit, we can return to our fellowship with fellow believers and God and Christ, and be able to stand and withstand the storms of life. And it's vitally important that you know this Word. And you know, I know we go through line by line and precept by precept, but the Holy Spirit always guides us and allows us to see that this word is not just some big book that you stick in the closet or in the corner and you pull out on Sunday, but it's actually a living word that allows us to be able to live in peace, like Dr. G was saying, in this world that we live in from generation to generation. There's always been a uproar. There's always been a riot. There's always been an issue. There's always been evil and greed in this world. And so the consequences of it always pan out, and God reveals them. But every generation needs to be prepared. That's why the word of God is applicable to every generation. And so we thank God for his word tonight. And that's going to lead us to go to our phone line tonight. And the righteous judge will have the final say. And just want to ask that question do we understand that even in the midst of all of the storms of life, that God's going to have the final say and in our lives and in this world. So we just want to ask that question. Do you realize or do you understand now, I guess, through all the experiences of life that you have, that God is going to have the final say? So we're going to go to our phone line this afternoon, this evening. First caller, last four digits, 1712. 1712, good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yes, I do understand that ultimately God will have the final say. Really probably starting hitting home for me until we reached the pandemic and we got involved in the pandemic and I started, you know, you look at the news, you hear all the naysayers, you hear all the conspiracy theories, you see how a country we knew were divided before, you know, with the whole political realm and everything was going on, was even more divided when we came across COVID-19. And then, you know, through all of that chatter and noise and everything, I said, you know what, God's got this, but ultimately God has the final say. You know, I've been through trials and tribulations in my life, and I've lost some friends, and I've worried about what people had to say about me and the direction I was going. But I said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to put that in your hands, because I ultimately know you are the one that's going to ultimately cast judgment and have the final say as of what happens to my life. But, you know, for me, I think the frustration was I was always so caught up and worried about what everybody said and listening to the wrong people and putting my trust and belief in their opinions and what they felt was going to happen. But as I started to go through adversity, as I started to learn more about myself, I started to realize, like, you know what, you got to just trust in God and know that God's going to work it out. And ultimately, as your question stated, God is going to have the final say. But just like everything else, I had to get to that point. You know, I had to be disappointed by man. I had to be disappointed in myself. I had to try other things before I ultimately realized that it may not always be the easiest right route or the popular route, but I had to trust God. And sometimes when you have to trust God, you have to practice discipline and you have to practice patience. And I think sometimes God allows the right thing to happen to us at the wrong time. So I also had to experience things that were, I wasn't ready for it. I had some blessings. I had some things that were working for me, but I didn't appreciate them. I didn't value them. And I lost those things. And through the course of the journey, I was able to gain some of those things back. And I thank God for it. But it was God say so. It wasn't me. It was God that said, you know what, I'm going to allow you to have some of those things. And maybe when I gave them to you, they were right for you, but you weren't ready for them. You didn't know how to appreciate the blessing. You didn't know how to take that and nurture it and grow it and then be a blessing to other people. But ultimately, it was God say so. It wasn't mine, because we long for things. We want things. But God provides us what we need. And a lot That's of right. times we can't appreciate what it is that we need, because we want what we want, and we want it now. We ain't trying to wait. We ain't trying to say, God, well, this thing you've given me, I didn't ask for, but what you don't realize is that's exactly what you need. But I had to have a relationship with God. I had to study the word and realize, like, you know what, this is exactly what I need, and the timing is right. Like the song says, it may not come when you want them, but it's always on time. But ultimately, in all of that, God had to have the final say. And in order for me to hear those words and to hear the Lord speak, it had to start within myself. I had to be realistic. I had to be humble. I had to look at myself and accept my flaws and accept the fact that I'm not perfect, but I have to strive and I have to put my trust and faith in the Lord. And then when I established my own relationship with Christ, I was able to hear the Lord speak to me. I was able to hear God when he had the final say, when God put things in my life, when God removed things in my life. But, you know, you got to humble yourself. You know, you have to be patient and you have to practice discipline, especially being in this this Christian walk. You know, it's not for everybody. I've doubted myself. I've gotten off the path several times, and I, you know, found a way to get back through the glory of God. But, you know, everybody's not going to get to the finish line. Let's just be very clear and real about that. But in this world we live in, you have to understand that the final decision and the final say is God. I think in this day and age, we're giving too much trust and putting too much faith in man.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to our next caller. Last four digits. 1741. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, I do believe that God, he will get the final say, and he is the final say. And God, he has a purpose for us. And like Brother Brian was saying, sometime we might get off course. Sometime we want things too soon, and God will let us have it. We're not ready for it yet. And sometime God will let us go on and have it. And the process of doing that, it teaches us. We learn from it. It might not be in God's plan for us to have it right now, but sometime because we covet it and we be greedy, we want what somebody else has, we're not contented. And we're mm-hmm. We will want these things, but God knows what's best for us. And I've come to learn that what God has purpose for everyone, and if you allow him to be in control in your life, what he has purpose for you to do, it's going to get done. You're going to do mm-hmm. it. You might fight a little bit, you might rebel a little bit, but God, mm-hmm. he's going to fulfill. He's going to get his purpose out of you, what he planned for you to do. And God, he's going to work with you. You have to pray and ask him to help you. But God, he want us to succeed. He want us to be victorious. And so God love us, and God has a plan for our life. And I think when we realize that God is not our enemy, and a lot of time we think God is our enemy, but God is not our enemy. God wants the best for us. And when we come to realize that God wants the best for us because he gave us the best, then we can be victorious in him, but we have to believe that God loves us. He wants the best for us. And in that process of loving us, sometimes love has to be tough. And it's through that tough love that we learn and we grow in grace.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next call. Last one is 6309. 6309, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I believe that God has the final say in my life. I've allowed that. He picked me up. He twisted me around and changed me, and he made me want to follow him. He's shown me too much. I know what he can do. I know what he's capable of, and I believe that he has the final say in my life. And I'm just going to do what I continue to do daily. Yeah, that boy comes after me all the time. But I got tools. I get my tools. And I fight them back now, you know. I don't have to run and go get a bottle of alcohol or go get a joint mm-hmm. or something. I don't have to do that no more, you see.
Mm-hmm.
God showed me what the things that he do for me are going to last and it's going to be there. And I want to serve him. I don't nothing stop me a Wednesday, a Thursday, or Sunday, because I put him first.
Right.
I put him first because he's the one that's taking care of me. All that other stuff, okay, I have to let him know. Don't come knock on my door. I let him know because I'm not opening it. I'm on the phone. I ain't beeping you in. I ain't doing none of that. You know what I do, and you know when I do it. Don't bother me. Don't bother me. So I just believe in him, and I trust in him, and I love him because he's been so good to me and my life. And it's nobody has never treated me as good as he has. I'm satisfied with what I have. I don't have to run out here and want to buy this and that with every little penny I get. No, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm living for him. I want to be pleasing in his sight, nobody else's. So I'm going to be on the road, and I know that it's going to come for me. I know they're coming for me, but I'm going to be waiting for them. They're not going to get me like they used to get me because God done showed me too much. I done learned too much. I know his love. I know his kindness. I know his peace, and I know his joy. And can't nothing out there in that world top that for me. So, yes, I do believe that God is the beginning and the end for me in my life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. 94-7971. 7971, good evening. 7971, good evening. You're on mute. Are you on mute, 7971?
Hello. I'm sorry.
Emma. We got you.
Yes. I can say longevity has its privileges. And I can say that I know for a fact, a matter of fact, that God is the author and the finisher in my life. And when you have had the opportunity to live a good life, a godly life, there are going to be ups and downs, goods and bads, trials and tribulations. But when you go to the Lord and you have that history with him, he answers, and even when you don't, his grace and mercy kicks in, and he keeps his word. He's so obedient when you pray and you don't doubt him. You believe him. You trust him. And he comes through every time. How can you not say or believe that he is who he said he is? He does what he says he's going to do, and we are the recipients of his love for us. He is all I need. I lean and depend on him for everything. He is the final everything in my life. I can't think of anything or anybody else that's been as good to me as God has been to me. When you're up against the wall and you have nowhere to turn, nowhere to go, and you don't know what's coming next, and you open up and you pray out to him, you can't explain it, but it's the Holy Spirit steps in and resolves everything you ask for. And he never leaves anything unfinished. I mean, people hear you talk, and they say, you're just running off the mouth. You don't know what you're talking about. That's not true. And that's a lie. And from the pits of hell, don't ever let anybody talk you against the word of God and what you know for a fact is God. He is all that I need. He has been in my life so long, as my girlfriend always says, but I didn't take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what we say to each other when the road when the trials and tribulations get so hard,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have nobody else to turn to, our thing to each other is, did you take it to the Lord in prayer?
Amen.
Because if you don't take it to him in prayer, how would you ever know what he can do? Is it true? But when you do take it to him, and he's right on time, he's a timely God. He knows what you need when you need it. He knows that you don't need. And when you don't receive it, you're big enough to admit that was not in his will. If it's not in his will, it's not going to happen. But then when you humble yourself and say, God, I thank you for what you did do. And when you do that and talk to him, and it's nothing like talking to the Lord, and you don't have to always be in prayer. God knows the minute that I walk through this house, just talking to him, letting him know that I appreciate what he's done. And before I know anything, it's when I've needed of what I wanted or whatever the situation, it may not be for me, it may be for one of the children or some family member or somebody you don't know. And it happens. How can you not believe that God is everything to you? He's a fixer. He's a regulator. He's everything. And sometimes I have to just sit and holler, Lord, have mercy. And if you told somebody, they say you crazy. Oh, she crazy. She crazy. Holy roly. I've been called everything. But that has nothing to do with me and my personal relationship with my Heavenly Father. And knowing who he is and knowing who I am to him. It's for real, church. It's for real in my soul and your soul. And don't let nobody attempt to make you doubt him, because we definitely cannot live without him. I am a 81-year-old fanatic, if you want to call it, when it comes to being close to God and living the life that he would like for us. I just thank God that I've surrounded myself with people that know my situation and are so willing to help me. Tuesday morning, I was off the track and I couldn't get nothing right. I couldn't get, it was just, I was messed up. But you know what? The angels that was camped on that line Tuesday morning picked me up, gave me the words, and said it was all right. And I said, help me. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. But they said the words for me. Tell me, that's not God. I lost my thoughts. I couldn't get my words out. But God had people standing in the gap that knew his word, knew what I needed to say, but I couldn't get it out. I didn't have to cry. I didn't have to feel sorry for myself, but I knew that I was in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right things for my Heavenly Father. This is what God does for you. He says he's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And I was that Tuesday morning, praying for somebody else. But then somebody else had to help me out. Am I making any sense to you? when I say Amen. That we know that God has the final say.
Amen.
The final say in your life. You get, when you get my age, things don't come easy. And you have those underlying diseases, short-term memory loss, hearing deficiency. And it doesn't always add up. But when you're in the presence of God and his people, he prepares them to help you out in your deficiencies as far as hearing what people are saying, wanting to say something and it won't come out, or you're getting ready to say something and you forget it. But somebody else that's there will say such and such a thing, and you're wondering, well, how did they know that? God. But God. But God. And I say, I'm a living testimony. And that's why I'm here on this line every Tuesday if I can. That's why I'm on the prayer line. I just started back with Sunday school because of the dependency of God being in my life and being with the people that understands his people and are there to pick you up when you're stumbling and can't help yourself. Oh, yes, I truly believe, and I know for a fact, that God is the author and the finisher in my life. And I appreciated everything that his people, that he has camped around me, helped me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you all. I thank you all the time. As they said, thank you. Always say thank you and always say please. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to our next caller. I have 4 digits 0266. 0266. Good evening. Listening in. I'm going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits 8760. Good evening. All right. This evening as well. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits 9880. 9880. Good evening. All right. We got one more call this evening, and last 4 digits 5236. 5236. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
How's it going?
So good, good. Hope everybody's doing well. So my answer to that question is absolutely yes. He always has a final say. I feel as though you always definitely get frustrated and worked up at times and lose sight of certain situations and lose sight of his will. And we always end up coming back and praying and just, for me, going back to certain scriptures and just reading it, kind of just referencing how I feel emotionally and what it means to me in regards to just having him in my corner. And so I know a lot of times there's situations where you might feel down or you might feel as though you don't really know what to do. And that's when, for me, a lot of times I end up praying and he might not speak to me right away, but I know he uses a lot of signs and different things to speak to us or show us the mm-hmm. way. So for me, I'm very grateful for, that humbling experience that he always gives us at times. So, that's all I can say from my experience And I pray that everybody's doing well. And thank you for this lesson. I really appreciate it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G., that's going to do it for tonight. Have your final comment and close us out in prayer, please.
Amen. Well, my final say is pretty much everyone has spoken that God has the final say. We just have to trust in him and get out of his way. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you once again for allowing us to see, have another lesson to teach us. And, Lord, I pray that you will hide that word in our hearts so that we can apply it to our lives. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.